sweet friend. This is Deeper Life, and I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller. I'm a writer, content creator, and a woman on a journey to finding more depth in life. If you crave soul-filling conversations and long for a stronger connection to yourself and others, consider this your safe haven. It can be hard to embrace who we are, let alone share that with the rest of the world. The Deeper Life podcast is a safe place to show up and hear conversations about relationships, emotional growth, and explore what it means to be vulnerable. If you're ready to dig deeper, I'm here to help you embrace who you are, reflect on your past, and connect with yourself. Welcome to A Deeper Life. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Deeper Life. It's me, Alexis Teichmiller, and I am so excited to have one of my dear friends on the podcast today. And I just first want to start off by saying thank you for spending your valuable time with us today. I know that life pulls us in so many different directions, and the fact that you're taking time today to listen to a podcast and learn and just feel connected. I know that you're going to feel connected through this conversation with my girl Chelsea Scott today, but I just wanted to check in and just say thank you. And I want us to take a big, deep breath before we jump into today's episode. I don't know about you, but it's been really busy on this end. And busy doesn't have to mean disconnected, even though busy sometimes does lead us to disconnection. So let's take this moment, take a deep breath in. Let that deep breath out. Let's take one more inhale. Let's exhale. Thank you so much. Sometimes returning to our breath and checking in with ourselves, seeing how we're feeling, seeing what stress and energy we're holding in our bodies, what stress and energy we're holding in our minds, can just help us like start the day or restart the day, even if it's 6 o'clock at night and you're listening to this. It can just help us kind of reconnect, recenter, and stay grounded. All right, let's dig into all things long distance relationships. Today on the show, I have one of my dear friends, Chelsea Scott. Her and I have been friends, I want to say, since 2014. So she's honestly my very first internet friend and the very first internet friend I ever met in real life. You will hear more about that story in today's episode. But a little bit more about Chelsea. She is a fantastic writer. She hosts a blog named The Millennial Miss, and she talks about all things relationships, life advice, and honestly, some of her blog posts about long distance relationships and just being a millennial woman have made me feel so seen and have given me so much encouragement. And I've just loved following her journey from working in broadcast journalism to now being a full-time content creator, writer, and I've just loved following her journey as a creative woman. And then now we get to talk about all things long-distance relationships. And if you are in a long-distance relationship or long-distance marriage, this episode is 100% for you. We talk about the things that you don't always really hear about when it comes to long-distance relationships. This is an episode full of safe space to feel and think and talk through whatever you need to with your partner. This might even be a good episode to send to your friend who's in a long-distance relationship, or to your partner if you're in one yourself. But just know, from two women who have been in long-distance relationships and now are in long-distance marriages, it is possible. It absolutely can work, and you can absolutely love the process along the way, even though it is challenging. All right, let's dig into today's episode with Chelsea Scott on all things long-distance relationships. Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Deeper Life. I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller, and today on the show, I have one of my dear friends, one of my like OG internet Insta besties. I feel like we go way back. Her name is Chelsea Scott, and welcome to the show, my friend.
I'm so happy that we're doing this.
Me too. I'm like beaming. I feel like you can hear me smile through the audio waves. We met in 2015 for the first time.
Yeah, like in real life, which was so fun. I would do that. We went on a trip. We went on a road trip, and I would do it 100 times over again.
Me too.
but we've been internet friends like since well before that.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was like 2013. I think I was still maybe my junior year in college.
Yeah, yeah, you were still in college.
Yeah, and we had connected. And I just have to tell this really quick story because I just feel like it's very relevant to who we are as people. And our friendship is, you know, we met on the internet and we just became like quick friends. And then I was going to be out at the time, Chelsea was living in LA, and which we'll obviously get into later with long distance relationships. And I was going to be in San Diego for a work trip. And at the time, it was my very first time ever traveling to California. And now I really know what it means to drive from LA to San Diego. But this woman drove down from LA to visit me in San Diego, picked me up, never met in real life before ever. And we went on a fun little road trip and it was just like the best day.
Wait, I completely forgot about that. And we went to those flower fields. I remember talking to my mom and being like, you know, she's like, what are you doing today? I'm like, oh, I'm going to go pick up Alexis. I actually don't know. I've never met her before. So I'm just quickly driving to San Diego, pick her up from the airport, have a day.
Yeah. It's also, I want to say like 2.5-3 hours, depending on traffic from LA to San Diego. So it just was a very like beautiful testament to our friendship. And since then we've traveled and done really fun things together. And she was actually a guest on my first podcast, The Laptop Lifestyle. So now we're back with a different topic, same medium, podcasting.
Yep. I'm excited. I'm ready to do it.
Me too. So we have both been in long distance relationships and now we're, you know, in long distance marriages. And so I'm curious from like how that journey really started for you. Were you skeptical leading into it? And really, we will obviously get into where you are now, but let's start with like the long distance relationship, because I think that's where things start.
Yeah. So just to lay the foundation a little bit. So Robbie and I, who's my husband, we actually went to high school together, and kind of, you know, through the years after graduation, we both just went our separate ways. He went to FSU. I went to University of Alabama. I ended up in LA and he was pursuing his dream and climbing the ranks to become a Major League Baseball player. So about 5 years after college, we reconnected. And at that point in my life, you know, I'd had different relationships, you know, some, you know, where he lived on the street and others. I had been in other long distance relationships before, obviously, cut to those didn't work out. And at the time when Robbie had reached out to, you know, to reconnect and, you know, I guess eventually start dating, I was in a very, very jaded place. And I was the last thing I ever thought that I wanted to do was get into another long distance relationship. You know, I was just in the place where I wanted someone that I could sit on the couch with and do all those really little things with that, you know, that sometimes I feel like you take for granted. You know, like, of course you can go grab a coffee with your spouse on a Sunday, but that wasn't my situation. So, you know, through many conversations, him and I ended up dating and we did. At the time I was in LA and he was in Boston, we did that cross country long distance for about 2.5 years. Up until the point when he proposed, I then, he, with his career, he has to be on the move. So I was just kind of in a place where if I wanted to physically spend any time with him, the big move was going to be on my shoulders. So I packed up, went to Boston. You know, that was a few years ago. We've been a whole lot of places, which I'm sure we'll dive into in the interim. But in a very small nutshell, that is our long distance relationship nutshell. And with his job, he is constantly traveling. You know, we're just, I feel like we're really good at being two ships passing in the night. And I know you've experienced so many different, you know, you and Matthew have been long distance, but in a different way, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, we started very similar stories. We dated and were friends in high school, and then we broke up for 3 years, most of college, and then we kind of reconnected our last year of college. And at that point, Matthew was already getting his undergrad degree in geology in Southwest Colorado. And at the time I was still in Illinois. And then he was kind of making the shift of, you know, I have more school here in Colorado. I was then graduating and I was like, I don't really feel like I'm in a place where I want to get married or move for you yet. We've only been dating for a year. You're still in college. And I was like, I'm moving to Nashville.
And he was a big catalyst in that journey. Actually, he said, I think that if you stay in Illinois, you know, you're never going to accomplish like some of the things that you really want to accomplish. And so he really encouraged me to move, which is also very strange in a relationship where you're already long distance, you're already missing each other, loving each other, but you don't get to live your everyday life with that person
together.
And then for that person to be like, I want you to go follow your dream, even if that means being farther from me, that's hard, you know? And so I'm curious, obviously everyone says, you know, the main thing in the long distance relationship is communication, really any relationship, whether it's a friendship, a colleague, like you have to communicate your needs and your feelings and things like that. But I really feel like there's so much more to communication and how you actually communicate in a long distance relationship. So I wonder, what was that like for you and Robbie?
Well, it was interesting because I'm sure you guys have found yourselves in this position as well. We were on a big time difference, you know, East Coast, West Coast. So by the time I was pulling, you know, at the time I was working 9 to 5. So by the time I was pulling into work, like we were on we just started off the day in two completely separate spots. We just really navigated our way through what works and what doesn't. Like, for example, like, you know, the first few months of our relationship, we just texted all day, every day, you know what I mean? No matter the dumbest thing could have happened and I'm texting him right away to tell him, you know, it's like, the sky is super blue here, you know? And then it just got to a point where at the end of the day, you know, we'd get on FaceTime and we kind of just stare at each other like, well, I already know how your day was. I know this, I know that, you know? And that was really the only interaction that we could have would be on FaceTime. So we, for us personally, just got to a space where we don't need to text 20 hours out of the day, you know, and having that actual FaceTime was really important and valuable to us. So our, like, you know, we would just kind of cut the texting way down and, you know, and have our time on the phone or via FaceTime. I also feel like, I mean, of course, communication is the foundation to any healthy relationship, friendship, whatever it may be. And relationships, I'm always, you know, I feel like a lot of people say they're 50-50, but I'm going to one up you and just say, I don't necessarily believe that. You have to give your 100% each of you. And especially in a long distance relationship, you know, cause you can't just, you know, you can't mask it with a, all right, well, let's watch Netflix together. Like, you got to figure it out, because if not, what's going to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously having that communication, having that trust, having just like that transparency, having all the things, they don't have to be perfect, but you do need to put, you know, a check mark next to those boxes, or else, you know, what are we doing across the country from each, you know, for what purpose?
Yeah. And where is this relationship heading to? Going. You know, it's like having a vision for the relationship can sometimes help you know that you're working towards something instead of, I think Matthew and I dated for 5.5 years and we were long distance the whole time leading up to marriage. And I think there for a while, like year 2 and 3, I was kind of at this like bitter place of like, where are we going? Where are we going? What are we doing? Why are we here? Why have we been here for so long? And there was an element of me that was stubborn and didn't want to move, didn't want to leave Nashville. You know, I really felt like I found myself there. My career was building. I was building up this creative side hustle of content. And I was scared that if I moved, you know, would that be able to move with me? And I'm curious from a career standpoint, I know that now you're a full-time content creator and blogger and writer. And I know that that was something that you did for a long time before you got married. And so I'm just curious, like, how career and someone else's dreams and your dreams and how do the, especially when you're in a long distance relationship, those decisions, honestly, just, I feel like they get amplified. Like, it's not just, we're in the same place. Like, let's get this job. Let's move here together. It's what if you're not on the same path, but you want to be together?
Yeah. And I think, it's definitely like a nonchalant topic just to say, you know, oh, you know, I feel like it's funny because I'm just thinking about like how I even introduced our relationship, but oh, I packed up from LA and I moved like as if it was no big deal. But at the time, I mean, I was simultaneously so excited and so thrilled to physically be with Robbie. But a part of me, I feel like you might feel the same, like you left in Nashville and I left in LA, you know, that was a huge pride thing for me to do. And I wasn't going to necessarily do so without his commitment you know, that we were taking our relationship to the next step of marriage. And, you know, that was a personal decision. And, you know, for a month, as I was packing my bags and, you know, getting my apartment lease broken and all the things, I mean, that was a very, very emotional situation for me. You know, I got out there by myself and I had just created this whole life that had nothing to do with Robbie, you know, and same for him. You know, he had just worked his absolute ass off to go up the ranks and, you know, finally made his major league debut. And that's, you know, that's no joke on his end. So to have our worlds collide, because we're both very goal-oriented and motivated people, was a big deal, but and a lot of sacrifices on both of our ends. You know, obviously being LA, the mecca of content, of, you know, any connection, anything you need, I mean, is there. So I had a huge fear of, you know, I had no idea where baseball is going to take us. I have no idea how long baseball is going to last. You know, if I'm traveling to all these different cities, how am I going to make connections? How long are we going to be there for? You know, where does my brand go with this? And I also had this fear that I was just going to become dubbed as this baseball wife. You know, and I think that term even so follows me, like, oh, Chelsea, she has the blog and she's a baseball wife. Well, I mean, technically, yeah, like Robbie plays baseball and I'm his wife, but my name is Chelsea. You know, it's nice to meet you. Here's my yes. brand as well. You know, so all these fears of, you know, just tumbled and, you know, just, and I think like you alluded to, you have these very serious conversations. I feel like earlier on in a long distance relationship than maybe necessarily, and I don't want to say, not a regular relationship, you know, but one right. where you're just, you know, cause like you said, where is this going? Like what am I, like a part of my soul is so sad and part of my heart is so sad cause you're not here. So why am I doing that to myself if we're not on the same end goal? So
I completely agree with that. Something that I realized pretty early on. So we reconnected on May 11th of 2014, which we now like literally is our anniversary, you know, like that's like the day we started dating. And then 4 days later, he jumps in his car or his truck, drives up to North Dakota and becomes a roughneck on an oil rig. And because he's a geologist and he wants to learn all things.
Figure it out. Here we go.
And I was like, okay, so from the get-go, it was, this is our relationship. And what it did, I think, and this is something too with your partner, if you're in a long distance relationship, or even if you're not, you have to decide how casual are you? How serious mm-hmm. are you? If one person wants to be casual and one person wants to be serious, those intentions are not going to align. And so for us, we both had to say, is this a casual thing where mm-hmm. we see you when we see you, or is this serious? And I think when you're in that mindset of this is serious, it also elevates those conversations so much sooner maybe in a relationship than maybe if you're in a day-to-day relationship, you live in the same city, you aren't having those like future oriented conversations. But when you're spending time and energy and money on a relationship, like I'm spending $450, mm-hmm. $550 in the beginning, because he lived in a tiny little mountain town. So flights were anywhere from $500 to $600 anytime I wanted to go fly to see him.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money for a, you know, recent grad. Like
for anyone, that's a lot of money for a plane ticket. And on top of that, you're spending a tremendous amount of time. You know, I just remember all my girlfriends being like, you know, oh, I have to drive to so-and-so's house tomorrow. You know, he's 20 minutes away. I'm like, listen, I would bang my head against the wall to be able to do that. I have to go to the LAX. I have to blah, 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 sit on a 6-hour flight. You know what I mean? I'm just like, yes. Girl.
Yes. Well, I'll never forget this. You told me the story and we've bonded over so many things, but I think, you know, the relationships that we have with our partners and being long distance, there's kind of this kindred spirit with each other of mm-hmm. how deep our love is for our partner, because we've gone through so much stuff with them and so much distance, and you learn a lot about yourself, but also you learn a lot about who you are in that relationship as you walk through, you know, going through hard things is life. Going through hard things without your partner next to you, because you're across the country from each other, or mine right now is in a different continent mm-hmm. altogether, that's like a whole other level of difficult. And so I remember, you can tell the story, but you were at dinner with some friends.
I knew you were saying
this. You go, you tell it.
With me. It sticks with me to this day. And this was 4 or 5 years ago. I'm at dinner in LA, you know, at some bougie restaurant, you know, with a friend of a friend. And someone had asked me a question. She was, I will never forget it. She's sitting across the table, you know, said something alluded to like, so Chelsea, you know, do you have a boyfriend? Are you dating anyone? And, you know, I just said, I am, his name is Robbie. He's currently in Boston, you know, oh, he's on a work trip, blah, blah, blah. No, you know, he's living there right now. And it came down to this girl who I've never met before. She said, oh, so you're basically single. And I'm the type of person that like, I am crazy kind. Like if you cross me, like I kind of want to stab you, you know? And so for me, I'm like, don't mess with me or my people. So when she said that, I was so taken aback because at first I'm thinking she has to be joking. Like no one would actually A, say that to a stranger or B, really kind of like believe that notion. So, and I didn't even know how to react. And kind of over the years, the stigma that comes with long distance relationships, somehow I feel like people view it as less than, oh, you're not in a relationship, or, oh, so you had to go to this by yourself? Wait, so he wasn't there for this, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think that that's necessarily fair, because like we've said all along, any relationship that you're in, you're going to work your ass off every single day. That's how you are in a strong relationship. But mm-hmm. for us in our position, like you've got to work overtime, you know? And mm-hmm. so for someone just so casually throw that comment out there, it really stabbed me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as you can tell years later, you know, it stuck with me. So yeah, just like this stigma of how people view long distance relationships. I feel like if I ever have a chance to, I would crush and break along the way, because that's not fair across the board.
Yeah. And something too is people need to be reminded that this is a choice that you're actively making. Mm-hmm. And something that now being in a long distance marriage, and I know when you and Robbie got married, you know, he was still playing baseball. And so mm-hmm. you would spend time apart, but you're married now. And so there's this element too, where it's like, oh, we get married, everything's going to be great. We're going to be together all the time. And sometimes that's also not the case when your partner has a demanding job, or, it, you know, he's not going to be living with you all the time. And something that I've really been working through is sometimes like this, oh, I feel bad for you. Your husband's gone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've been working through that. of just, you know, I don't need you to feel sorry for me. This is a choice I made too. He didn't make this choice without me. We made it together. This was a decision because we're partners. And that notion of like, I feel sorry for you because your person's not here. It's also like, well, I'm an independent person and I helped make this decision because it was what was best for both of us. Not just, does it hurt? Of course, I miss him every second of the day. But it's also this like, this notion of I need him to survive. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, I feel sorry that your person's not here for you to help you get through the day. And it's just it's an interesting space.
It's an interesting dynamic for sure. And I've become so proud and so in love with my independence. And that's something that, you know, looking at high school Chelsea or even early college Chelsea, that I didn't necessarily think that I would ever get to that space. And you know, there are parts I am so wildly independent, and I don't think that that should ever be viewed as a crutch. You know, very much so, I am my own person, Robbie is his own person, but together we make a hell of a team. And yeah, it's just, Alexis, it's really it's just really interesting that you say that, because it's so true. I've been, you know, like so, I've attended so many weddings solo or, you know, whatever it is. And it's always the same question. Where's Robbie? Oh, you know, he's in whatever city playing tonight. Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, mind you, we both stood up on that altar taking vows, you know, so this was also my decision as well, you know, and I support him to the ends of the earth and vice versa. So I'm not really sure like where along the way this pity party came into play of, you know, oh, you don't get to spend every second with him. And this goes for people whose spouse also just have a very demanding job. You know, if they are gone all day or, you know, working a night shift, whatever it may be, you know, he doesn't necessarily have to be in another state, another continent. Yeah, but it's just like really, it's really tired. It's really just old. Let's just not, We don't need to say that to people.
I agree. And I think it runs through this filter of, I can't relate to your situation. And so mm-hmm. I feel sorry that you're on your own. So I understand and have empathy for they're just trying to maybe understand and they just don't. So right. I understand that point of view. And at the same time, I think that and this is really interesting. And so I'm glad that we're like really digging into this. Nashville Alexis, super independent, super ambitious, super focused, like just, you couldn't stop me. I was like an engine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I got married and I settled into this codependency. I'd never had anyone with me all the time. I'd never had anyone that drove in the car for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I never had someone that would go do things for me. It was just me. I was on my own in my city. I had a great community, but my day-to-day was me doing things.
Yep.
And so that was really interesting to feel myself shift towards this. We're a partnership, but teetering on, I'm being a bit codependent on this mm-hmm. person. And then when he got this new position to work in South America, for months at a time, weeks, months at a time, it was actually very scary to me because I hadn't accessed that independence again in about, you know, 8 months, 10 months at that time that we'd been married. And this wasn't his fault. It was me figuring out who I was on the day to day with my person because I'd never had that before. And so now I'm like stepping back into this independence while also being married and really trying to be aware of when I'm being codependent on my person to be my everything, to fix everything for me, to feel everything for me in a really unhealthy, cyclical way. And so that's mm-hmm. been really interesting to unpack and just to be honest with myself about how him being gone now impacts like my confidence and independence.
It's ironic that you say that you're feeling that because not but earlier this week, Robbie didn't have a full baseball season last year, obviously because of COVID. Yeah. And we are just praying every day that he gets a call soon for a new team, but that's a whole different conversation. So the past, gosh, since last March when we were shut down up until today, this is the most time that we have ever physically spent together in our whole, and over the years, this is the most time. So in the beginning, it was like really fun. This is cool. Wow. I got to wake up with you and have every single meal. And, you know, we could do all the things, in our house, of course. And now we're just at to this point, you know, over the time during COVID, we had our first baby boy, and we've navigated through so many things and emotions and just trying to figure out where our relationship is when we see each other every day. And I'm saying this because I was just talking to my mom earlier this week and I got teary-eyed and I said, I am praying, you know, from my lips to God's ears that Rob gets signed with the new team. And obviously he's traveling this upcoming season and doing this and doing that. But I'm so nervous that because I've been at home and so comfortable, this is most time I've spent at home since high school. Like I have fallen into this new sense of comfort that I've never had. And I'm so nervous what that'll look like when we do start traveling again. You know, cause I was just this girl. I mean, I would pack up our apartment and our life in 24 hours because we'd have to go to a new city. And I didn't know anyone in that city. I didn't know what our apartment looked like. I knew nothing. And that was just my norm. And now, you know, I've been at home for so long and I've seen my family every day. And we are just in such this routine. And I know exactly what's happening tomorrow. And now the unknowns completely freak me out when the unknowns of our, you know, of everything used to be just like my everyday. So it's just interesting that you're going through that as well, because you're definitely not alone, you know, in feeling that. It's scary when you get comfortable and then all of a sudden you're shaken up, you know, to kind mm-hmm. of go back into a place where you thrive and being uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's very true. And then the finding myself in this new normal of our marriage where, you know, he's working night shift, he's on a ship off the coast, so he has spotty Wi-Fi, which means we can't Zoom or FaceTime all the time. Mm-hmm. And just being able to see someone's face, it really just like hits you in the feels where you're like, oh, I can see those words coming out of your mouth. I know your expressions. I know you so well. But sometimes whenever you're just talking on the phone, you don't get those same reassurances, that same like, security, I guess. And that's something that we learned. He was gone for, he was gone for 9 weeks in the fall. And so that was the first time we'd been apart since before we got married.
Right.
And you're learning how to communicate again and leaning on those skills that we learned in like pre-marriage, pulling those into now. I would say it's not just communication and trust. It's also being really honest about where you are. And your partner totally. Can't know how to support you. They can't know how to speak to you. They can't know how to comfort you if you aren't honest about what you're experiencing, or, you know, if you're going through a difficult time mentally or physically. Like, your partner isn't there. They cannot see that. And right. I think that does put a little bit of the responsibility of making sure that we're bringing our full transparent self to relationship, is that we have to communicate that. And we then can't get bitter or resentful because they're not giving us what we need whenever we haven't clearly asked and communicated for what that is. And that's something like I'm learning in a big, big way right now. Mm-hmm. Cause then there's this independence and ego part where I'm like, I can figure this out on my own. I've got this. I don't need to hash it out. And then it'll fester and fester. And I'm like, oh, this is bigger than what I thought it was. So
right. And then you get into those silly fights because you thought you were too big to express yourself, you know, and then there you are, you know, states or countries away, just, you know, going back and forth for absolutely no reason. It could have been solved 5 hours earlier. So, I mean, I think that should just be like a huge takeaway for any relationship, you know, like you've just got to be transparent because holy hell, everyone has so many other things that they're tapped into. And sometimes if you just don't shake your partner or your friend or whoever and say, hey, like, I need you to be present for a second because I'm feeling X, Y, and Z, and I got to spell it out for you, because if I don't, I'm just going to assume that you know, that you can read my mind, and, you know, then we're going to get in a fight about it, and it's going to be silly. It's going to be a waste of both of our time and energy. So before, you know, we just like hit full on the pedal, like, let's just hit the brake for a second. And, you know, we're at a yellow light. Let's just cruise control for a second.
Yes. And the difference that I found too is like the different ways that Matthew and I process things. And I think this is important regardless of what relationship you're in. However, whenever you're in a long distance relationship and you're on the phone or Zoom and you're trying to work something out, it feels more immediate. The processing time window has shortened. We need to discuss this now. You know, I'm not going to be able to talk to you for 12 hours or whatever the stipulation is. I know that Matthew needs time to process things and mm-hmm. really think through things before he arrives at a decision. Or, you know, hey, I need to think this through a bit more before I give you my input. And that can be frustrating when I want something right now. Whereas in real life, day-to-day life, you can have a conversation with your partner and that person can say, you know what, I'm going to go on a walk. I'm going to clear mm-hmm. my head for a bit. And I'm going to come back and then we can discuss this again. Sometimes that urgency, you know, it's there when you're on the phone because you want to discuss it right now. And I think just being kind with yourself and showing compassion for your partner's communication and processing skills, that they might need more time. And that's okay. And making space for that and making that normal for them. So that way they don't feel like you're jumping down their throat because they're not where you need them to be when they're just trying to catch up or they're trying to, you know, put more intentional thought behind it.
Right. And honoring each other's space is emotional space is huge. And something that I've learned, my dad always taught me this, whenever, if there's something, if I feel like I'm in an emotional situation, whether I'm angry or sad, whatever it is, and if I really need to have a talk with someone, I will literally write down, whether it's in my notes or on a pen and paper, my thoughts, my feelings, almost like as if I'm practicing a speech to them. And I'll let it sit for a day or two. And when I pick up back on my phone and read it through again, if I'm still feeling all those things, then I'll have the conversation. You know, but sometimes just holding it, because I especially feel like now, or, you know, everyone is just consistently on their phones. And when you're in a long distance relationship, that is your lifeline. Like, you have to be able to communicate, you know, or just like be able to talk to them. But sometimes I feel like just firing off text messages left and right, just with no end in sight, just going like, you know, if you're having yourself a day, girl, like take a breath, because you're going to you're just going to waste so much of your energy if you don't hold space for each other emotionally. And that's exhausting for both of you. And when you are apart, there's no quick fix to anything. So why do that to your relationship?
I love that. I love your dad sounds fantastic. Can't wait to meet him one day.
He is.
but I agree with that, sitting with your thoughts and what I think there's an extra layer to this that you mentioned is getting clarity on how you actually feel. Because a lot of times I'll be feeling some type of way, but I don't even really have clarity on what it is or why it originated or what I want to do with it. But then I'm putting that anxious energy into the relationship when mm-hmm. I'm on the phone. And I think it would help my communication skills and then also just our relationship that I need to get clarity first about what I'm feeling, how I want to communicate it so that way it's clear to my partner instead of, you know, I think there is something beautiful about working something out together, but I do think that the majority of the things we need to get clarity on first before we jump to getting advice or like dumping on our partner. It can be hard, but it's very wise.
And we did marriage counseling, and one of the things that our pastor said was he called it like dirty towel syndrome. You know, there's going to be that night or that day that your partner throws like that their dirty towel is on the floor and you are going to lose your mind over them. But if you were to stop, you're not mad that they didn't put their laundry in the bin or that they had their dirty towel on the floor. You've kept so many things inside. You're actually upset with that 3 weeks and 3 days ago that he didn't show you enough appreciation, you know, whatever it is. So it's like, stop being mad or acting on the dirty towel on the floor. Like take a beat, you know, and just figure out exactly. It's just going to be so much more constructive that way. Figure out exactly what you're upset about in your own space before bringing it to your partner.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's especially important when you're in a long distance relationship, because your time to talk can be limited. And Right. Those things, I mean, in our 5.5 year relationship, Matthew and I actually went on 2 breaks where we weren't like broken up, but we were just like, it was me.
In a minute. Yeah.
I was like, I need some space from this. This is, mm-hmm. and it was because we had kind of stacked things on top of things on top of things. And there wasn't a lot of clarity. There wasn't a lot of intention. It was just frustration. And it was like, I miss you. I don't know why we're doing this. This is hard. Where is this leading? And when those things, you know, like you said, the dirty towel, it's not really about that. It's about where are we headed? When are we going to get engaged?
There'd be so many times that, you know, I'm sitting in my little shoebox apartment in LA and I'm just crying. And instead of saying, hey, babe, I really miss you, I am literally picking fights out of the clear blue sky because I didn't know how else, you know, where else to put my energy. And for Robbie, he's like, wait, hold on, what is going on? What are you so angry about? And I was just so angry because I missed him so deeply and there wasn't a quick fix. I physically couldn't see him. Like I just wanted to sit on the couch with him and that wasn't obtainable. And to think that like, wait, I'm so far from you. It was just, there were points where it was so frustrating. It was so saddening to me that for whatever reason, I turned into anger and just would lose it on him, you know, because it was a Tuesday at noon. And, you know, I just learned along the way that, like, it's okay to say, hey, I am missing you so bad that, like, my heart, like, I actually hurt because I miss you. You know, like, that's okay to say instead of just getting insanely angry.
Yeah. And, or even just saying, I miss you so much that I'm feeling really frustrated right now.
Yeah.
You know, and just being honest about those feelings, like we said, take that time to get some clarity on why you're feeling that. Because also when you let those things, and this is in any relationship, when you let those things build on each other without having that clarity and having that vision for your relationship, those things can break you up. They can.
100%.
Like they can end relationships. And so having that, those honest conversations, but also giving yourself time and space to have clarity, you know, do you want to end the relationship? No. Am I mad because I miss you? Yes. You know, I tell this to Matt all the time. There's this song that's like, it's, I think the name is Jealous, and it's about how this guy is singing the song and he's like, I'm jealous of the rain as it touches your face. And I'm jealous of the air.
Is it a country song? I know.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay, send it to me because I feel.
Yeah.
Send it to me. I'm like, yeah.
Very feelings. It's like, I'm jealous of everything around you because it's not me. Yeah. And I'm not with you. And so I miss the bed you're laying on. I miss the shirt. I'm jealous of the shirt you're wearing. And that sounds so like, you know, deep in your feelings, but it's so real. And I think just being able to say that and be honest about that with your partner is so important. Something that we haven't chatted through yet, we kind of touched on it when, you know, you were explaining that situation with that stranger that you didn't really know who said that, you know, those very insensitive things to you at dinner. How important does community play a role in your long distance relationship?
I mean, I think it boils down to everything, you know, because there could just be nothing worse than sitting in your apartment by yourself and having no one to lean on, no one to distract you with. You know, I mean, I lean and still continue to lean into my friends and family consistently. And I'm just really blessed to have like such a solid community who just, they don't even have to ask, you know, they just know if I'm having a really hard day, you know, in terms of missing Robbie or whatever our situation may be. You know, you don't have to have 15 best girlfriends. You know, it's really a quality over quantity situation. Mm-hmm. I think having friends like us, for instance, you know, we really just right off the bat bonded because it's like this little secret world, you know, long distance relationships of having someone who just purely gets it. Like you said, like how creepy would it be if I just said to a friend who's never dated someone long distance, like, God, like I'm just jealous of the shirt he's wearing, or I just wish, you know, they're like, I'm sorry, what? Like that's hard for someone who's never emotionally been in that space to understand. Mm-hmm. So having, you know, people around you who just purely get it and or really know you both. I mean, you've got anything in life, you've got to have your people, and this is no exception to it.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is so layered. Because sometimes there'll be people in your life who don't agree that you're in a long distance relationship and don't think it'll work and tell you that to your face or tell you that you're wasting your time. Or, I mean, I definitely had experiences with that with people I was very close with, and it was very hurtful. And that, then I knew that they put themselves in a category at which I would never go to them if I had, you know, I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling stressed, this is really hard. And so the people will kind of show you who they are in how they support your relationship, no matter what relationship it is.
Totally.
But in a long distance relationship, because of those stigmas and because of those kind of negative feelings of like, oh, is this even real? You know, and something that unfortunately people used to say to me is like, well, every time you're together, it's just like you're on a vacation. It's not like it's even real life for you. Like you're going to visit them. And, you know, you're there for 5 days or they're coming to visit you and they're there for a weekend. You know, that's like you're taking a little romantic vacation. It's not real life. And that was really hard for me to not get some of that initial support. But what really came through was with my friends in Nashville, because they were spending a lot of time with Matthew whenever he would come visit. So they really knew him. They knew his heart. They knew his character. And they also knew me really well. And there were moments where, like, I'll never forget this. This was February of 2018. It was, like, Valentine's Day. And I was at, I had, in Nashville, I had this small group. We always got together on Wednesdays. And we just became so close that we spent a lot of our time together. And we were at, like, a small group, but it had kind of turned into, like, bring desserts and wine and just hang out. And we were all sitting at this, at my friend's dining room table. And I will never forget this. I was just, like, I don't think I can do it anymore. I don't think I'm strong enough. This is really hard. I don't know where we're headed. He's in grad school now. I'm here. Like, we're still not engaged. I just don't think I can do this. And my friends like sat with me and they prayed over me and they were like, we see the love that you have for each other and you're going to regret letting this go. We support you no matter what you do, but like, we're trying to be your voice of reason here that like, this is the real thing. Like you are with someone who's going to make you happy for the rest of your life. Who's going to be a good partner. Who's going to be honest. Who's going to be true to you. And I know that you're in a place where you don't think you can make it, but like, we are here to tell you that we think that you can. And that was just, that was like a, actually a really big turning point for me was even in the times where I felt like this is too hard, I had people in my corner that were like, no, we see this. We know that you can get through this. And that just, you can't buy that. Like, it's just,
No, amazing. That's an irreplaceable support and love and truth. You know, like to have someone who can be your mirror is, you know, that, I mean, that's your biggest blessing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And that was just 3 years ago, you know, and now we're married and like,
yeah, things are
and
so-
marriage is so fun and like healthy and, and it's this interesting thing. Matt said this, he wrote me a little card because he knows like I like to see things written down. And he, on my way back from the airport, he was like, look in the glove box. Like I left you a little note. And I was like,
cue the breakdown.
That's very real. But in it, he was like, if I knew marriage was going to be this fun, like I would have done this a long time ago. And it's just great to see like all the work that you put into a long distance relationship pay off when you're at that next level, whether you're married or not, but like you've gone through the ringer together.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like how would you say things have shifted for you and Robbie? I know you've spent a lot of time together this past year, but you were still long distance, you know, when you first got married prior to COVID. So I'm just curious how that shifted for you.
You know, it's interesting. I think there was almost just part of me like took a really big breath and I was just really proud of us. Like we did it, you know what I mean? And not in a sense that there isn't still work to do, because I think there's always going to be that, but I was like, holy shit. You know, I was just beaming like, wow, like all those years, you know, just like all these stupid long distance things that we would do, like FaceTime until we fell asleep, you know, all these things. I'm like, oh my God, we actually did it. Like, no shit. Look at us. And I think to the naked ear, that kind of sounds silly because it's not like a consolation prize. It was just more so of like, you know, like I can't, like, I'm just really proud of us. You know, and I think that that's something like really cool to say and to look back on. And yeah, now, you know, it's interesting. Like when we, after marriage, you know, when he would go on road trips, you know, he'd be gone for 10 days or whatever. And I'd miss him, you know, day three. And I would look at myself like, Chelsea, he's been gone for 3 days. Remember when you used to live across the country, you know? And it's just like different chapters. And it's just interesting how things evolve and change. And, but I think it's really powerful to be present in each stage. And, you know, like there would be the days, you know, where he was, or he was gone for 3 days. And I'd be like, Chelsea, like, be stronger, toughen up. You know, you'd be without him for so much longer. Then the other half would be like, it's okay to miss your person. Like, I think I got to a place where I just knew that I had no other option but to be so strong. So the notion of only missing him because he was gone for, you know, a 3 day span just seemed so silly to me, but that was our new normal. Yeah. So yeah.
I feel that. I have been working through like balancing ego and self-compassion because like on the way home from the airport, you know, I'm coming back to an empty house. He's going to be gone for 3 months. I can't visit him. Like he's in a quarantined, like, I mean, there's no way that I could go see him. And I told myself, like, I'm not going to go to my parents. I'm not going to call anyone. I'm fine. I'm going to go home. I'm going to continue working and I'm going to just go. I'm fine. Okay. And that was like the ego part of me. And then the self-compassion part of me was like, your person just left for 3 months. Like that's a quarter of the year. That's hard. It's okay if you want to go hang out with your parents tonight. Maybe you should even spend the night if you want to.
Yeah. Just crawl up on your mom's lap.
Yep. Love that. Oh. You know, like why are we being strong out of ego? And when are we being self-compassionate of like, I actually don't want to go through this by myself. I actually want to tell someone that I need help. And I think that's been a shift too of like, just because I did this before, this is our new normal and this is hard. And I don't have to like put on this brave face all the time. I can ask for help and I can lean on my community. And that's why we moved back to Illinois, was because when he's gone, I didn't have anyone in Houston and right? I didn't have anyone. Like, that's not true. We had two friends. We had two people, which were fantastic and like totally about the quality. But here, both of our families, both of our parents, my sibling, like all of our friends, his friends, my friends. So there's this like overwhelming community that comes around me when he's gone. that I get to lean on. And that's something that, you know, we're sacrificing in a way, being in a city and in the lifestyle and the things that we want to do, mm-hmm. with where we are, you know, in a small town of 15,000 people. And I'm learning about how much I actually enjoy living here, which has just been interesting too.
No, I love that. And it's just true. We had our son Brody the very end of May, and Robbie left for a little over 2 months shortly thereafter, for a baseball opportunity. And if we weren't if we weren't living here and both of our families weren't here, I quite literally do not know what I would have done, because I mean, like, the village showed up ready to go. You know, it was like, not only am I a first time mom, I just had a baby, and my husband, I'm not going to see him for a hot minute. And that was really, I didn't talk about, you know, it's like, put it on this brave face. I couldn't even emotionally or mentally allow myself to even dive into, like, I can't believe the fact that he's not here, because I was gonna break to pieces. You know, all of my focus was just on, thank God my family's here, and I have to give my full attention to my brand, you know, to our newborn and to myself, because I have to be able to take a breath. And yeah, so I applaud you guys for making that quote unquote sacrifice to be closer to family, because I mean, they're your foundation, and it's going to make all the difference.
Yeah, I agree. And then when we're home, you know, I think there is something to be said about how you spend your time together when you are together, that, first off, I would highly recommend not waiting to fight when you're in person. If you have a conflict or you have an issue that you want to discuss, don't spend all of your quality time in person fighting about that thing. If it can be hashed, like, don't wait 3 weeks to talk about it in person. Talk about it as it's happening. And then if you need to retouch on it when you're in person to get more affirmation, then that's 100%. Like, I'm so in favor of that. But something that we learned the hard way was, like, we would bottle it up, and then it was like, bah, every time we were together. That's not healthy. And that also made our time together.
It's not fun for either of you.
It's not fun. Yeah. It's not fun.
Yeah.
So that's a big one.
I went through this stage where, you know, when I was living in LA, I was working a 9-to-5. So I would, you know, usually take like a red eye on Thursday if my boss would give me Friday off, or Friday, and, you know, fly to the East Coast. And then I have to be back by Monday or Tuesday. So our trips in itself were very short. Mm-hmm. And I just consistently, like, weirdly put this pressure on myself that since our time was so limited as is, that every second of the day had to be like this fairy tale, that everything had to be perfect. Yes. And like, that is not true. That is never going to happen. So the second, like, if my voice would get a little testy, or if he would get a little testy, or if he had to go to the field 5 minutes earlier, whatever it was, like, I, in the beginning, like, I didn't handle it well, because I'm like, oh my God, okay, well, it's already Saturday and I'm leaving tomorrow, you know, and things haven't been out of a romantic novel, and like, because they're not, you know, so the people are like, yeah, it's called life, Chelsea. So, you know, everyone who is always saying, you know, like they said to you, oh, long distance, that's like a vacation every time you visit them. Literally, this isn't appropriate, but kiss my ass, because that is so not true. You know, like, I think almost if anything, it's the opposite, because you get smacked in the face with reality of like, oh, wow, here we go, you know?
Yeah, I agree. We've got some things to work on, like, oh, this isn't perfect. And I think just kind of setting expectations too around how you want to spend your time together. Something that we had to really discuss, especially since we were long distance for years, was, hey, let's have a night where we go out with all of your friends. I want to spend quality time with all of your friends. I want them to know me. I want to know them. However, let's not sprinkle friend time in the middle of our time together, because I don't like that. I didn't like sharing our time together. I'm here for 4 days. I don't want to see, you know, two of your friends every single day, you know, doing lunch or going out to a bar or something. It was like, no, we're going to have one night where it's all focused on friend time. And that really helped, I think, him understand where I was coming from. And then I did the same thing in Nashville. We had one night where we all did something with my friends, and then the rest of the time was spent together, and not having that like constant interaction with other people for us worked. And I'm not saying that that is universal, but if I'm flying to see you for 5 days and we spend 5 days with you and your friends and we get no alone time and you're not prioritizing any kind of, you know, just intimate and just conversation, like mm-hmm. let's go sit on this rock and talk about how we're doing, like whatever it is.
That was something we
really had to work through too.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were right there with you, and it was interesting because I feel like why I put so much extra pressure on myself is like when I would go visit him, half of the day and the full night, he was at the field. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, if anyone's ever watched a baseball game, they are very long. So on top of that, you know, he's at the field hours before mm-hmm. for workouts, you know, and all these things and treatment. So like we had a small sliver of time on top of a small sliver of time. So, you know, our deal was just in the mornings, we would have, you know, that was, we didn't speak to a soul, you know, that was mm-hmm. our time. And if we wanted one night to go out to grab a late dinner with some of his teammates, that's totally fine. But the other two nights that I'm there, like mm-hmm. that's, you know, that's it. So, and I think, like you said, you have to set those expectations before you get there or else, mm-hmm. you know, you're just going to spend so much of your trip just feeling flustered or, you know, feeling some negative energy when it shouldn't be about that.
Yeah. And focusing on like clearly communicating those expectations prior. And so that way you're not, I don't like spontaneous events on me, like mm-hmm. In a way where if I'm only here for a couple of days and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, we're going to go do this with my friends. I'm like, this wasn't on the agenda. And not to sound uptight, but it was like, I don't want to do that. I want to spend time with you. We did this last night. I don't want to do this again. Mm-hmm. And so I also think, you know, saying no and clearly communicating, I don't want to do this. I would rather do this. And then putting it out there, because again, your partner doesn't know when you're frustrated or when you're feeling anything unless you communicate that with them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's interesting because so much of how you and I have dealt with long distance is so similar. And anyone that's listening, that we're not necessarily saying that's the right way. You know what I mean? Because I've had so many other friends, you know, and just like in the baseball realm, you know, who have done things differently and their relationship has flourished into such a beautiful marriage as well. Totally. So like, yeah, just, I don't know. Kind of anything in life, you've got to find your rhythm and mm-hmm. it may not come right away. You know, we've definitely stumbled for sure. You know, but you've just, in those moments, like you said, you either communicate and figure out how to get your asses back up, you know, or you keep mm-hmm. rolling down the hill and that's that.
Is Brody awake?
Yeah.
Oh, yay. He's up from nap time. yeah, I completely agree. A couple more things I would mention, and you kind of mentioned it, was like premarital counseling or just mm-hmm. even if you aren't on the track to get married, just going to counseling together. Before Matthew and I were even engaged, we did some counseling together, and that was really helpful because we had both had experiences in our past that were really hurtful to us, mm-hmm. and it was hard for us to communicate those things together and how they were impacting the current relationship. So mm-hmm. past usually affects your present and sometimes your future if you let it. And so we had to work through some of those things to be able to just have a more healthy relationship. And then something else that I would recommend, and you can do it anytime, is read a book together. You can pick it out, he could pick it out, whatever you wanted to do. But we started reading books together and then getting on Zoom and talking about them. Like we would read a couple chapters, discuss it on Zoom, read a couple chapters, discuss it on Zoom. It wasn't like a scheduled like regimen book club, but it was just honestly to have something else interesting to talk about. Like, oh, listen to this podcast. Like, let's read a book about marriage. Let's read a book about finances. And that was actually really great for us to start having those conversations while we were dating. So that way, when we were married, it wasn't like, boom, here's all this stuff that you need to have
everything.
All these thoughts on. And we read this book, Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. And there's like a women's, there's a women's workbook and a man's workbook. And so that way they kind of talk in different language in those two workbooks, but you read the same book together and then you have like your workbook. And that was actually really helpful too. We got to navigate things and discuss really important topics that like gender roles. Oh, we're not necessarily talking about that in your day-to-day relationship, especially when it's long distance, you know? So it's like, oh, let's talk about gender roles in the marriage. This is great.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. we've never read a book together, but I love that idea. So I'm glad you said that. You know, because I think it's when you're essentially living two separate lives, you know, mm-hmm. my day-to-day had nothing to do with Robbie's day-to-day. So sometimes, and I could tell we would both get frustrated, is finding that common ground. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and that's really hard to sometimes navigate through. So I think just what you said is an incredible piece of advice to like put laying some common ground for you guys to talk about, because, you know, what am I going to tell you about my, you know, my lunch? Like, you don't even care, you know? So it's just like, you know, I'm like, we got to find something else, you know? So having that common ground is, and mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it sounds so basic, but it's just so crucial to have when you're essentially living like two separate days.
Yeah. And you know, Matthew is a scientist and I'm a writer and a podcaster and a creative and a coach. And I'm in this like, you know, woo-woo, like just very mm-hmm. like very vulnerable, intentional, you know, space, and he works for corporate America as a scientist, and so it's very like black and white, it's like very this or that, mm-hmm. it's all or nothing. And so we work through that together, through like that common language and finding common ground, and through reading, and that's been really helpful. Something else that I was just thinking about is when you're in a long distance relationship, obviously you are missing that physical touch. You're missing mm-hmm. that handholding. You're missing any kind of intimacy. And so it shifts everything from the intimacy and the physicality that you have when you're in love with someone. Okay. Mm-hmm. It turns it all into intellectual. There is no mm-hmm. physical touch. I haven't seen you in 8 weeks. Okay. So we're just intellectually connecting now, and having that common ground to just discuss things can also just be like, great, because you're missing this whole other side of the relationship. And so how do you not make up for it, but how do you add other things into the intellectual side that are still exciting to you, I guess?
Right, because you can't, whether it's masking in a good way or you're celebrating something, like the whole intimacy aspect, it's not an option, you know, like it's not there. Like I can't physically touch you or feel you. So having, you know, whether you want to celebrate something or you got into a huge fight and, you know, you just don't feel like talking about it, like those aren't options. So like you said, having, you know, plan C of, hey, let's really lean on each other and, you know, talk about X, Y, and Z is huge, or else you're going to find yourself on the phone twiddling your thumbs in silence. And that no one wants to be in that type of relationship.
Yeah. And even if you're in a relationship where you see each other all the time, and I've actually had a few friends say this to me of like, you know, we've been dating for a year and I just don't feel like we have anything to talk about anymore. And I'm like, ooh, okay. Here's some like tips, you know, like let's do something about that and be active in trying to build a deeper relationship, a deeper mm-hmm. connection. And that's really on the intellectual side too. And it can also be on the intimacy side too, of like, I want to try new things. This is how I'm feeling sexually. And it doesn't have to be this taboo, I'm scared to tell you that I'm not feeling as excited or I'm not feeling as seen by you. It can just be an honest conversation of like, let's try this new thing. Let's read this new thing together and find something that we like together. Especially when you have different hobbies and different interests.
For sure. You know, during COVID, it's like, you know, I was telling you, this is the most time we've ever spent together. So there were times where, and we're both very comfortable in our own silence, you know, together. But I'm like, oh my God, we're just literally eating dinner in silence, like, which mm-hmm. is cool. But then I started, you know, then I'm like overthinking, you know, like we spent so much time together, but what are we talking about? So of course I didn't tell him, but I ordered these cards off Amazon. I want to say they're called like, Our Moments. They have them for family, for couples, and for kids. And they're literally just like flashcards, but they're prompted questions. Mm-hmm. And some of them are just really easy, you know, off the cusp. And some make you dive deeper. Some are about, you know, like, tell me about something in middle school. You know, so things that you would never necessarily, you know, like when you're dating someone. So tell me about that time you were embarrassed in middle school. You know, like what kind of conversation starter is that? But it's a really cool set. And we've absolutely loved them. You know, so many things have sprung from them. So that was just, you know, if you're sitting at home with your spouse or your mom or your kids and you're like, holy shit, what else are we going to talk about? You know, mm-hmm. they just help you dive into a deeper level.
I love that. There's, you said they're called Our Moments.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. There's also another one. There's a conversation deck call from this company called We're Not Really Strangers. Okay. They have one too, and it's like a conversation deck, and there's three levels of depth. So like, okay, there's the first level, which is obviously more surface, the middle level, and then the third level is like the deepest questions. So okay, those have been fun. I do those with my friends. And then another one that you could do with your partner, it's from this company called Best Self. And my friend Catherine is the CEO. And whenever Matthew and I got married, she sent us the deck. It's the intimacy deck. Okay. And they have all these different topics. It's like sex, money, past, future, self-connection. And they're different. And then we would pick them at dinner and we would talk through them because it was
love that.
Well, we're married now. What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just looked them up on Amazon. So on Amazon, if you just type in "our moments couples," like they come up. They're like, they're under $20 and they're great. It's 100 thought-provoking conversation starters for great relationships.
I love that. And you can do that. You can do that in person, and you can also do that over the phone together too.
Totally.
So that's also a fun thing that like you could have a little Zoom date night and go through some questions together. I love it. I'll link all three of those different options, depending on what tickles your fancy, in the show notes. And I have just loved this conversation with you. I feel very seen because when you're in a long distance relationship or long distance marriage, you know, it's just really hard. It's an extra layer of emotion, and you know, you're missing your partner, and being able to connect with someone, you know, on a very deep level that has experienced the same thing. I just love you for that. And I hope if you're listening, whether you're in a long distance relationship or not, you know, maybe you could send this to a friend that is, I hope this helps you understand how to support someone that's in one, or if you're in one, you know, how you can navigate that together, because you can have a successful relationship, even if it's long distance, and you can make it through. And if you want to get married and that's your goal, you can make it to that. Like, we're both products of long distance relationships that turned into marriage, and it is very possible. And I just want to encourage you to not give up. And I'm just so thankful for you and all the advice and wisdom that you shared on this too. This was great.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's just a preach because, and I know this is going to sound really cliche, but if you are listening and if you're in a long distance relationship, like, you aren't alone. You know what I mean? You can absolutely always message Alexis or myself. Like, we got you just right off the bat. We understand. Mm-hmm. Nothing is too silly. You know, sometimes you've got to do what you got to do to make it work, and that's okay. And I applaud you and your partner for doing so. So, I mean, I appreciate you always. I'm so thankful that I've had you over the years to be able to be like, girl, you know? And I'm so thankful we had this conversation. Like you said, my hope is just that, you know, it makes someone have all the feels and just have them feel seen, because sometimes, you know, you need that extra little hype from your friends.
You really do. I love following you on Instagram. You are a writer at heart. I know this about you. You've been such a writer for so long, and I would love for you to share where people can connect with you and whether they want to talk about long distance relationships.
Yeah, come talk all the things, girl. I've got it all.
You're an open book.
Yes, please come say hello and introduce yourself. My Instagram handle is @millennialmiss and my website is themillennialmiss.com. And I'm so excited to chat with you further.
Awesome. And she also has a whole section on her blog, themillennialmiss.com, about relationships, about long distance relationships. I literally remember, this is so funny. I remember it like being at a crossroads in my relationship with Matthew. I was in a bathroom stall at my place of work reading one of Chelsea's articles.
Oh my
God. Like, how to get through a long distance relationship. It's so funny that I remember that. But that was like, it was like a lifeline to me, you know, to read someone who's laying out the real deets of how you navigate a long distance relationship. So definitely go check that out, and I'll have that in the show notes too. All right, friends, thank you so much for spending your valuable time with us today. And I look forward to connecting with you on Instagram.